Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome back to another new episode of Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast. I'm David Wren, and I am joined tonight by my bro hosts Kyle Kynobi and Matt the Radar Technician. Sadly, Dennis could not make it tonight, but that's okay. That's part of the reason we've got a whole, you know, group doing this now. So tonight we are going to be talking about the most recent news that we have, which is the Mandalorian Season 3 official trailer. We are about a month and 10 days or so away from the premiere, and they dropped this on Monday night in pure Disney corporate synergy fashion during a Monday night football game that aired on ESPN, much like they've done with the rest of the movies and so on and so forth. So without further ado, we're going to play a snippet of this trailer, and then we're going to break it down for you. So here we go. Mandalorian Season 3.
Our people are scattered like stars in the galaxy. What are we? What do we stand for? Being a Mandalorian is not just learning about how to fight. You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy. That way, you'll never be lost.
Oh, I love it. It just, chills.
The sound design is just killer, man.
The sound design is incredible. And it just gets better and better and better. And I mean, I guess like everything, you know, it just gets better, but
there's something about Pedro's voice too.
Pedro's voice.
It gets me every time.
Can we talk about Pedro's voice real quick? Like, I know we were talking about this in the group chat a little bit about like how much he's in the suit or whatever. And like, I joked in my headcanon that he's always in the suit. I mean, I know there's a stunt one and there's, you know, like, you know, John Wayne's grandson or whatever. And like the whole nine yards. And I love that the three of them create the character of Din Djarin, but it's Pedro's voice that sells it. It's his acting. His voice is amazing. It's incredible. And I never thought I would get so excited over a voice. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it. I just never thought I would be that way.
You know, what's funny is I actually watched Wonder Woman 84 for the first time in a long time the other night. Because Pedro was in it, you know?
And that's right. I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, he's played such a completely different character, but that voice, like, it's just still there. Like, it's a little different, you know, because he tweaks it a little, but it's still there. And then his voice with the hand, you know, with the helmet and the little voice, you know, changing with it, it's like, it's perfect. It's way better than any of the original Stormtrooper voices, you know? It's definitely gives me the feels every time I hear it.
Definitely. Yes, I agree with you, Matt. All right, Kyle, let's start breaking this down. What are we going to talk about tonight?
Absolutely. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We want to break down the trailer into the three aspects we felt were most important. The first of which being Mando's journey throughout this season, because it seems like we're going to follow a traditional story and as opposed to the kind of monster of the week Saturday serial organization we've had for the last two seasons. So we'll talk about that and him teaming up with other Mandalorians. We'll talk about Coruscant and the role Dr. Pershing and Order 66 play into this season. And then the Mines of Mandalore and Mando being forgiven for his transgressions. And we'll go on with that. So you guys want to talk about Mando teaming up with these other Mandalorians, what he's got going on here? Because Bo-Katan was kind of absent from this trailer, if I recall entirely.
I find that, actually, I was going to bring that up. I find that very interesting that, you know, at the Celebration trailer and then the trailer that they re-released later in the summer, that was basically the same one that we saw at Celebration, like, Bo-Katan was featured very heavily in that trailer, in those two trailers. And this one, she's not in it at all.
Yeah, they kind of made it seem like she was going to be the pro and, or like the big and biggest, and or one of the biggest antagonists of season three. And kind of, I think Katie Sackhoff definitely played it off that way, you know, on stage at Celebration. Like,
oh yeah, like during the panel gonna be, and stuff. Yes.
So yeah, like you, I find it very, very interesting that they, you know, feature a lot of Mandalorians in the third trailer, but she is not, I don't think she appears in it once, like not even once, right?
No, I haven't seen her in this trailer once, and I've watched it quite a few times already. And I just, I don't know, like, it makes me kind of wonder, like, obviously he's going to be going around with these other factions of Mandalorians and stuff like that. Like, maybe that's before they get to Mandalore. Maybe he brings all of those factions to Mandalore. Maybe Bo-Katan's already on Mandalore and she's just kind of hanging out on Mandalore. So, like, until he gets to Mandalore, God, how many times can I say Mandalore? Mandalore, Mandalore, Mandalore. Yeah, it just makes me that much more curious about this season and how they're going to play Bo-Katan. And I'm just pumped. I just can't wait.
What do you think, Cal, about where, who are these other Mandalorians that they showed in with in this trailer?
Yeah, that was my biggest question when I saw it, because if you look at the insignias, I think we see the Eldar clan, which was in Rebels season 3 or 4, I believe, and they were loyal to Bo-Katan. So I'm wondering if I had to guess, I think the first episode we're going to start right off with him leaving Tatooine after Boba kind of restores peace back to the city. I think that's where all the fireworks are coming from, where he picks up R5-D4. Because if you guys notice on the Starfighter, he no longer has that bubble for Grogu. He has R5-D4 in there in that shot where he's flying through the rain. So I think we'll start back off on Tatooine. We'll pick up right after Boba Fett. And then maybe he goes to see Bo-Katan first and she just has no interest in reuniting the other clans, and he just goes off in his own direction maybe and starts trying to pick off some of her allies for a greater purpose, like taking down Moff Gideon or something like that. Because I don't think we'll see Thrawn until Ahsoka or in the season finale of this, best case scenario.
Yeah, maybe the season finale. I've thought that as well, but no, we're not going to heavily feature Thrawn in this. I'm not even sure if Ahsoka will show up this season.
I doubt it. I think they want to save the whole Thrawn and Ahsoka thing for her own show and pick back up in Mando season 4. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, so what did you said the Eldar clan?
Yep.
Was that the Mandalorians that they show in the shot in the beginning where there's a bunch of them standing there and then Mando comes from behind? Like up from behind, yep. Like he's with them, kind of? Okay.
Yeah, if you look at one of the shoulder pads, they have the same insignia.
Yeah, so I was kind of like, you know, I didn't look that closely. I didn't notice that. So, like, when I was watching, I was debating on whether I thought they were a part of, you know, Mando's original clan. Is it the Death Watch?
Yeah, I believe so. That's the clan that rescued him, so.
Yep, so, you know, with the armor, and, you know, I'm not as up to on all my, like, Mandalorian lore as you guys might be, and I'm sure maybe some listeners are, but it's not really my forte, but
I was going to say, me neither, actually. I'm not great with the whole Mandalorian lore. I've learned more with this show than I ever knew, you know, from the Clone Wars or anything, because everybody knows I didn't really watch the Clone Wars when it first aired. And I know they've got some Mandalorian-centric episodes that I think I'm definitely going to go back and watch before this season.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's been so long since I've watched Rebels, and I didn't watch all of Clone Wars. I only watched, you know, probably the first handful of seasons, and then I watched the last season. So there's a lot I missed, but I tried to do a lot of reading on it to try to get all the information I needed out of it, because it does seem like, you know, you probably don't have to watch them to like understand totally what's going on in, like, you know, the Mandalorian, but there's so much backstory that it just enriches, you know, what you are seeing in the Mandalorian if you understand, you know, all the backstory with, you know, like the Mandalorians and Bo-Katan and Sabine and the Empire and, you know, everything that happened during the Clone Wars too. So yeah, I was debating whether I thought they were with like the Armorers faction or if I thought they were maybe with Bo-Katan, or if they were just like he says in that opening line, something about, you know, they're scattered across the galaxy like stars, so maybe he's finding other factions or clans or just random Mandalorians to try to unite them to help him in whatever, you know, I guess cause he is setting out for in season 3, because, you know, he has Grogu back now, so, you know, what, I'm not sure what his end game is really.
Yeah, I wonder if he's trying to see who else survived Nevarro, because if you look at a lot of the armor, they look like they're kind of piecemeal together, just like a lot of the ones that saved him in that episode. I think it was episode 3 of season 1. And you assumed a lot of them died because the armor is smelting their armor in the finale of season 1, but the armor doesn't really look even, you know what I mean, like in terms of the color scheme, like Death Watch would be or something like that, or right. Clan Ren, it's very much just orange helmet here, brown shoulder pad here, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, I guess you kind of do see like the quest he's kind of setting out on that they make obvious, you know, obviously we kind of expect some, you know, curveballs and definitely some surprises to be thrown our way, but he does say he's wants to go back to Mandalore to redeem himself, so obviously he still feels a connection to his clan and wanting to make amends to them. But, you know, does he also have motivations of trying to, now that he is the owner of the Darksaber, does he want to try to reunite all the clans, or does he not really care? I guess we will find out.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. It's going to be very interesting to see what his end game is, because obviously until now his end game was just, you know, helping Grogu. I want to know what he was doing in the off time, like when Grogu was off training with Luke for 5 minutes, you know, like, because there's got to be at least a little bit of a time jump, you know, between Boba Fett and whatever. Not like a crazy time jump, but like, I mean, I laughed that Grogu was training for 5 days, but he wasn't. I mean, I think he was training like a little bit longer. You know what I mean? Like,
you like to believe that at least.
Yeah. Right. I imagine he was probably hunting bounties like a badass, like usual.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's when we saw in the Book of Boba Fett, like, you know, he was doing that job and then that led him to Tatooine and, you know, like the whole nine yards. But yeah, no, I'm pumped. I want more. I want to see. I want him to learn how to wield the Darksaber a little better.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of interested to see how that ends up this season. That's probably my biggest what if, is just the end of the Darksaber. Is Bo-Katan get it back somehow, or Moff, or I mean, I can see.
Well,
Moff
no, I want Mando to have it.
I'm really curious to see how does Moff Gideon figure, I mean, we know he's going to be in the season and figure into the show, like until he's dead, he will probably be a part of it. And even after he's dead, is anyone ever really gone? But,
yeah,
you know, he's in custody, like New Republic custody. So what, there's something
he's
that's going to happen.
He's
going
to have to, he's going to have to break out at some point. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, Maybe that's why Pershing is on Coruscant. Maybe he's trying to break Moff Gideon out of the maximum security prison on Coruscant.
I mean, so that kind of goes cool into our next topic, doesn't it?
Yeah, I kind of did that on purpose.
Sorry, what were you saying, Kyle?
No, I was saying that'd be pretty cool to see in live action because, I mean, aside from Andor, we've really seen a prison in live action. We've seen it in Clone Wars, and it was always really fascinating to see. Like when Cad Bane was in jail pretty much every single season of the Clone Wars, it was really interesting to see that on Coruscant. So seeing that live action would be pretty neat.
Yeah, one of my favorite Clone Wars arcs was that Citadel breakout thing. Like that,
that was so good.
It was so good. And that was even back when I didn't like the animation, but I just really liked the story.
So Dr. Pershing, I'm wondering, what do we think he's doing? Yeah. Or what were you going to say, Kyle?
No, that's exactly what I was thinking. Because if he noticed, he must be doing something undercover because he doesn't have the same. I mean, we all noticed right away, I think, that the insignia is on his uniform in season 1 and 2. They had the cloning facility, the Kamino stuff. So
I think you guys noticed that. I never noticed that. So I will fully admit.
Well, if you remember the first trailer from Celebration and the similar one during the summer, they have that scene where Pershing's walking with somebody, and I can't remember who he's walking with.
It's Katie O'Brien's character.
Yep. So yeah, they're walking, and it looks like they're kind of trying to hide or be, you know, sneaky or nondescript. And I don't remember if they were walking by New Republic soldiers or, you know, guards or whatever. But you could tell they're like kind of trying to sneak somewhere. So I wonder if that scene is tied to the Coruscant scene. So this is what, David, I told you earlier, went back and did some reading because I wanted to know exactly where Coruscant is, like what the state of it is, if they're going back there during this time. And then we're in, what, 9 years after the Battle of Yavin, I think, is when Mando is technically set.
That's about right.
Because now we're, because the first season of Mando is 5 years after Endor, so we're probably 2 years removed from that now, I would say. That about adds up.
Yep. So at this point, the state of Coruscant is, you know, in the Aftermath trilogy, it was the Battle of Jakku. Like shortly after the Battle of Jakku, Mos Eisley.
Why do we always go back to Jakku? We mention that. We mentioned Jakku more in these past two episodes than I mentioned Anakin's hair or something about Kylo in of season one episodes.
It's like Tatooine. Everybody complains about, you know, the shows all keep going back to Tatooine. Why do we have to always go back to Tatooine? But it's like the sequel trilogy, or like the post Return of the Jedi era. Seems like a lot of it, you know, is tied to Jakku. They always go back to Jakku. So like Mos, after that battle, and, you know, the Imperial remnant under Gallius Rax is like defeated. Mos Eisley signs like a treaty with the New Republic to basically give up Coruscant, and they let him like continue on as like basically like a governor with no like little power. So they like, if I remember right, they prosecuted like all the military commanders as war criminals, but like a lot of the people who weren't military, like Mos Eisley, they let them off. So I think, unless there's been a drastic change in the few years after from there to where Mando is, and Coruscant is, you know, in the New Republic, but it's still probably very much controlled by Imperial diplomats, or, you know, former Imperial dignitaries, diplomats, politicians, or whatever. So I'm kind of curious to see what it's like there during this time.
So where does Hosnian Prime come in?
So the way they decided to structure the government was, I mean, they reestablished the Senate, and then they voted on where the capital would be, and they would move it every so many years. And I don't remember the time frame, but so at the time of The Force Awakens, Hosnian Prime was chosen as the capital. But like, I think started it on I think it might have started on Chandrilla when they.
Well, that would make sense because Mon Mothma, you know, was obviously going to be a big figurehead in those early days, and that's her home planet. So that's
right. So I think they started the government on Chandrilla, and then they moved to. Looked it up earlier. It's some other planet that's not Hosnian
Prime. Like they
Prime,
moved the Senate building too.
Well, I mean, I think they just, it's kind of like the Olympics. It just goes around from, you know, city to city, planet to planet, and they probably build
so
a new
So all those
new
planets
Senate
have
building.
To build a new Senate chamber.
I would imagine so. I mean, government spending at its finest, right?
That's expensive.
I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know. I'm sure they might have even said it in the book somewhere what they do, but.
Well, and it's funny because, like, I know the Legends continuity a little bit better than I actually know the now continuity when it comes to that inner workings and stuff. But, like, in the Legends / Expanded Universe, they just stayed on Coruscant. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, they were just like, yeah, no, we're going to live here. Like, you know, it's fine.
They did. I think the premise behind it was that they were going to move the government every few years. That way, like, no one system or planet or, you know, like, basically group of people could solidify power as easily. I think that was kind of the, if I remember right, the reasoning behind that. But.
It's very interesting.
You know, so back to Dr. Pershing, that shot in the trailer this week showed him. It showed a Star Destroyer, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same sequence of scenes? I don't know if it was really the same scene. Do you think that that Star Destroyer was on Coruscant?
Yeah, it looked like it. I mean, I'm. The question is it being deconstructed or being constructed? Like, are they hiding this, and this is preparation for like the Exegol fleet or something like that, or?
Right. To me personally, it kind of looked like the outskirts of Coruscant. Like, you know, like where Ahsoka went on that lower level.
I would kill to see some lower level Coruscant.
Oh, I know. Remember that video game we were going to get?
1313 or something like that, right?
1313, yeah. And it was Boba Fett, wasn't it?
Yep.
But it was all about those lower levels of Coruscant and all that stuff. But like, yeah, to me, it looked like, remember in... I guess it was Attack of the Clones when Dooku goes to see Sidious and it's like not in the main part of the city, but it's like on like, you know, like kind of back without
when,
the woods. Yeah.
Or Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah. No, not even that. I mean, Attack of the Clones. But yes.
It right.
Was
but it was like the same
Jedi
thing.
Yes,
it was the same exact. Same exact
right,
place.
Like I picture where that Star Destroyer is kind of in that area. You know what I mean? Like, and that would allow them to hide it. I mean, because
well, they do say
looking at a big city.
Yeah, I mean, they do say. I mean, Coruscant is pretty much a whole city, like planet-wide city, like the whole planet.
The whole
is a city.
Planet is one big city. Yeah, that's
so you
got to
imagine there's a lot of difference. I mean, basically other than like some of the planets in the original trilogy.
It's funny because
I was just gonna say it's basically been like the most important planet talked about in like the prequel trilogy and all the Legends books and, you know, content and even a lot of the new canon. Like,
I know, which it's funny that we didn't see any of it in the sequel trilogy, and it kind of makes me sad. I was hoping we were gonna see a little bit of Coruscant in the sequel trilogy.
I
mean, we were supposed to in Colin Trevorrow's.
I was going to say, and then when I heard about Colin Trevorrow's script, however true that may be, I mean, I guess there was art and everything, so maybe that was...
And we were robbed.
Yeah. I agree. But, like, especially if that mission had been to Coruscant, and then they could have tied in the Jedi Temple and everything. I mean, yeah, that would have been... I really do. And I like Rise of Skywalker. We all know this. Everyone I know knows this. Like, I do like Rise of Skywalker. Kylo Ren is one of my favorite characters. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But, like, that script did sound really cool. And I would have loved Coruscant to tie in somewhere.
I agree.
Well,
so if we're going to get more of it in Mando, I'm all for it.
Same here. You know. I hope to see, I mean, as much Coruscant. I mean, obviously, I want to see other planets, new and old. As much Coruscant as they want to throw at us, like, I'm game, no matter what era.
Can we talk about Babu Frick real quick?
But,
that's awesome.
So Babu had
that's
a friend.
A great...
Yeah, Babu's got a friend. I love that there are more Babus. Like, everyone knows I love Babu Frick. Again, Rise of Skywalker, sorry about it.
Hey!
But, like, hey! Like, I've got my... I got my Babu Frick from Galaxy's Edge. That's like an animatronic, and he talks and he blinks and he coughs and he's like the coolest thing ever, and I love him. And so they showed him at the Celebration trailer, right?
Yeah, they showed him. Yeah. Do you remember the scene that they showed him in Cal? Because it's, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
similar. It all takes place.
It was a similar, right? Right, exactly. Yeah, but I was freaking. I remember at Celebration, I was like, "Oh, it was Babu Frick! Oh no, my God!" I was dying. It was great.
And yeah, I wonder if he'll just be like a shorter cameo, or if they'll like give him a little more runtime or not. Yeah,
I mean, maybe they need a black market droidsmith, and they need to recover some memories from.
Well, there was the scene in this new trailer with like a whole. It looked like a bar of droids.
Right,
so that could be all tied together. It literally kind of looked like a bar.
maybe that's where they hang out. Maybe that's where Babu goes. You know, that's where he drinks.
Could be.
Ooh, are we gonna get a young Zori Bliss too? Okay, now we're just going in. Never mind. I'll stop. I promise. I'll stop.
Dude, there's so many. We could go on into multiple episodes about this, about how all the tie-ins that they could do, or we think they might do or hope do. Like, it's really insane, I think, the amount of like open threads that they've kind of started to weave, you know.
I love it, though.
Try to be careful of not getting into too much of this.
it's bringing every era together, and I just like, I love that. Like, just that one shot of Babu Frick, it's like, okay, there's the sequels. And then, of course, there's our next topic, which is Order 66, you know, which is obviously a Grogu flashback. We already know that, you know, Grogu survived Order 66, mm-hmm. like 127 other Jedi with him. But, you know, that's another story.
Kind of like with the Dr. Pershing thing, too. You know, like he's a Kamino cloner, right?
He's a Kamino. He's a clone engineer or whatever.
Engineer. So, like, you know, that ties to the whole prequel.
Right, that ties to the prequels
theme, but also, you know, obviously with Snoke and Palpatine and the whole sequel trilogy, like clearly there's something building, like over a broad arc there, I feel like, with all of that. And like obviously Grogu is going to be a part of it, and it'll be really interesting to see what they do with that.
Well, yeah,
we're all agreeing. I'll go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, with that scene in the trailer, I think we're all in agreement that it's not going to be Anakin. I mean, we all love Anakin. I think he's probably all in our top five, but it's not going to be him. That would just be a little much.
Yeah, we just saw him in Obi-Wan, and we know...
He's a lock for Ahsoka.
Well, we think he is, air quote. No, we know he is. But,
so we think,
you know,
we do think that scene is the Jedi Temple,
it's the other
right?
worst kept scene. Oh, it's definitely the Jedi Temple. It's definitely Order 66.
Right.
It looks like the half a flashback we already saw from Grogu.
Yep. So it's what? It's like three Jedi standing there with lightsabers drawn, awaiting what's coming through the door. So do we think it's help, or do we think it's somebody else coming to attack? Like, would it just be?
I think it's help. But I don't. They can't do troopers again. I mean, that would just be the same thing as Book of Boba. So I don't think it's Anakin either. They would have to pay Hayden again to come out. It was filming at a different time than the other shows. I don't know.
And we just saw. I mean, we saw it in Kenobi too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, exactly. So I think it'd be a little much. Yeah. I'm assuming it's help. It's either. I mean, a lot of people theorize that the Bad Batch were the ones who rescued Grogu, but obviously that didn't pan out. So I'm guessing it's another Jedi that rescued Grogu.
Wait, and Wrecker's we'll gonna come and rescue Grogu? I'm gonna wreck it. God, oh, come on, that would be awesome.
I mean, I would say it's a safe bet to that it would be help, and it's whatever Jedi rescued Grogu, because we kind of need to close the loop on that story, because we've had it weave through two different shows now with Season 2 of Mando, Book of Boba, and then Season 3. So they kind of need to finish that chapter out.
Wait, it wasn't Little Reva?
I mean, it's crazy to think about how much we've gotten with Order 66. I love it. I mean, I'm here for it. It's the biggest event in Star Wars history, probably.
Yeah. So, our friend Adam pointed out, you know, all these years later, he didn't think he would have to relive it all these different times, but it's true. It's a pivotal moment in Star Wars history. Like it's where everything changed.
And it's kind of cool how we're seeing it now from different eyes too, you know, different people, different angles, different
points of view.
Yep. It's kind of cool.
Which is what Star Wars is all about. You know, it's all about your point of view.
I just want the point of view of the guy on just the street level of Coruscant that has Mace Windu's body flying at him. I mean, how do you react to that?
There's some bad words. I want to imagine Samuel Jackson screaming as he's falling down. But
if we get a Mace Windu cameo, yes, it has to be outside of Dex's diner and some random person walking out of the diner, and then Mace Windu's body falls on top of him. That's what we can get. Yes, that would be awesome. I love it. That is great. I just love
your love for Mace Windu.
I do. He is my all time favorite character, I have to say. You know,
it doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't. And wait, didn't you guys see that meme? It's Dex that comes through the door.
Oh, I didn't see that.
What do you know? You know, that's he's the one coming through the door with all the Jedi because he wants them to have club sandwiches at his diner.
I hope it would be even funnier if C-3PO came through the door. But I don't even know if he was on Coruscant at that time.
I hope whatever it is, though, we actually see the moment happen. Because as of right now, it's always been like that kind of tunnel vision force memory that Grogu's getting. There's no sound or dialogue or anything like that. I kind of hope that whatever we do, it's the actual moment. You know what I mean?
Right, like it's like a true flashback.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of like finally
he shares it with somebody, or he just experienced, like, I wonder if it'd be kind of cool if he was able to share that memory somehow with Din.
Yep.
Like that would be a pretty deep moment for Din to kind of
understand
and see where Grogu came from.
Well, what if maybe they'll tie that into Ahsoka?
Yeah, I could see that.
There's so many ways that they're going to tie. But. Well, because, you know, we know that Sabine's going to be in Ahsoka, and like, so maybe somehow their paths cross and Ahsoka can bring that memory out of him or something. I don't know. Like,
I'm sure they're all going to cross again. I mean, this is all, the way they've talked with tying all these shows together between Mando, Ahsoka, and what's the one with Jude Law? Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, the way they're talking about tying it, those three shows alone right now. I don't know. I've read other things that said there's another show like in planning for that whole era.
I've heard that too. Yeah, it was Production Weekly came out with there was another Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau production, but people don't know if it could be Mando season 4.
True. Because
they did change the code names. Like it used to be Huckleberry. I forgot what they changed it to more recently. Boba was Buccaneer.
Right.
And it could be,
I think, something else was Pilgrim. They've changed those codes around. So it might just be Mando season 4 if I had to guess.
And it could even be, I mean, you never know. They could do another season of Boba Fett. Like, I don't think they will, but I'm never going to, you know, you never know. They always could.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could already have a second season of Ahsoka planned too. I mean, it's, yeah, like you say, it's really, really hard to say if it's a new show or just a second season or fifth season or fourth season of something.
We really won't know until someone like Bestman Bulletin comes out and has set leaks. You know what I mean?
Do you think they'll announce something in London?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to take all the stage time, but there will definitely get something. But I think the most likely announcement from Celebration will be Damon Lindelof's movie for 2025.
Okay.
That's got to be what they're banking on for the big announcement, because they need to make that. And there's been a lot of rumors about casting.
But we already know what it is. It's episode 10.
it sounds like it's going to be. I mean,
the continuation of Rey Skywalker. That's what it is.
Hey, I mean, it's a logical path to take. Like Kyle, I think a movie announcement would be like a big thing that they'll do. They kind of need to. I could see like a show or two, and you know, one or two show announcements too, and then obviously all the updated news on all the other stuff. But
I mean, I'd I'd rather have closure on the announcements we have than new stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of obvious we're not going to get Rangers of the New Republic. They're not going to even mention it anymore. I don't think you'll ever hear that it's officially dead, that it's just not happening.
But yeah. I mean, can't they give it to that other guy?
Well, it sounds like they're pretty much weaving all those ideas between the Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and the Skeleton Crew. I think more so the Skeleton Crew.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, what if Skeleton Crew is like the knee-jerk reaction to canceling Rangers of the New Republic? You know what I mean? Like Skeleton Crew is a rework of Rangers of the New Republic.
I mean, it sounds that way. I mean,
because like Skeleton Crew was not on the it wasn't on the docket, right? Like originally it wasn't really a
quick, didn't it?
Right, and like because I remember the stuff about the Acolyte, and that's supposed to be the High Republic era, and whatever. But like, yeah, I don't ever remember anything about Skeleton Crew until they announced it at Celebration.
Yeah, I think seeing some stuff on like Bespin Bulletin and you know about it before Celebration, but it wasn't really that long before Celebration, and there wasn't really much news. I think I'd heard possibly about Jude Law, but yeah, Celebration was really the first time.
Yeah, it was like a month or two before Celebration, I think, when the stage name was Grammar Rodeo, and everyone thought it was going to be another High Republic show, and that Jude Law was the lead. And then we got to Celebration, and we found out it was a Mandoverse show, which is awesome. I want closure on the stuff we already have announced, like the Lando show. I mean, I know they're all working on
the Lando show
schedule, but
what's going on with that? I still like the idea for Lando.
I haven't heard a thing about it.
I like the idea of Billy Dee Williams like narrating it, and then you know, young Lando having all the adventures,
or like sitting in a bar or a casino, like telling his life, like you know, reminiscing about his past life.
Well, no, the Calrissian Chronicles, you know, just like in Solo.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring that into it, you know. But it's like old Lando. recapping it, and he's like, all right, we got this going, it's great. Yeah, that's my Billy another D one impersonation.
I could listen to Billy D narrate his life for sure. That would be
I know one. Right, yeah. Like they always say, like, oh, I could listen to that guy perform the phone book or whatever. He's one of them. Yes, I would totally do that. I would listen to Billy D Williams do the phone book. Yes.
So, David, you're saying you have a habit of getting off topic, because I think all three of us are pretty good at it, doing it together.
Well, that's fair.
We went from Order 66 to Billy Dee Williams narrating his life.
Well, I mean, Billy Dee Williams was around during Order 66, so it kind of sort of matches.
Yeah, it's all in the same galaxy.
It's all in the same galaxy. There we go. You know, it's fine. All right, do we have any more Mando trailer ideas that we want to throw out before we wrap this up?
Maybe just briefly talk about the directors, because they just posted that today. So that's, I mean,
you'd also mention reporter. I was going to say, you also mentioned the minds of Mandalore too, Kyle. I don't know if you wanted to still talk about that or.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys think is going to happen? Because it's. He's got to be forgiven for his transgressions and all the stuff taking place, and that kind of teal, smoky atmosphere in the caverns. That's got to be the minds of Mandalore, I'm guessing.
So, yeah, what are the minds of Mandalore exactly?
I mean, beats me. I don't know if we've even heard about it in Legends. So, the only thing I noticed when I was watching the trailer, like frame by frame to prep for this, is I guess you'd call it the stinger, because it's the last shot of the trailer. But when Grogu's coming out of the cave and he force pushes whatever monster that is, mm-hmm. when he's coming out of the cave, you see, I think it's Mando's body line up against a rock. Like he must have got knocked out or something.
Really? Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, go back and watch it after.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either.
Look behind that monster, you see Mando lying up against a rock or something like that.
Oh, he's protecting his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just wondered if there was like some significance of the minds of Mandalore that I didn't or from like Clone Wars or Rebels that I didn't either see or know about.
So, yeah, nothing that I remember. I think it's kind of a newer idea brought up in the show, but I could be wrong.
And okay. Did I miss something with all this? Like, who is the armorer to tell him that he's not a Mandalorian anymore? Like,
I hope you find that out, man.
Like,
she almost seems like the boss, like the boss woman of like their, or matriarch of like their, the death, or I don't know, the clan or Death Watch or children of.
Children of the Watch.
Children of the Watch, yeah. So I don't know if, maybe she does have a lot of pull and say.
Right, but like, you know, who is she, like, to say this? Like, you know, he's been living this creed his whole life. Like, you know, he was a foundling, just like Grogu. That's why they're so attached. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he takes off his helmet to rescue Grogu. It's not like he did it to sleep with that girl on that backwater planet. Like, you know, he wouldn't even do that. Remember the cute girl that he was like flirting with and stuff? And
oh yeah, you know, tried to take his helmet off. We all thought it was coming off for sure.
Exactly. And he didn't, because he is so dedicated to his cause. And then he takes it off to save his son. I mean, sorry, I don't know how adoption works in the galaxy, but you know, it's obviously easy because Bail Organa was just like, hey, I've got a daughter and everybody's fine. So, you know, like, obviously adoption isn't as crazy as it is in the United States of America. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, Grogu is Mando's son. And like, she's all like, well, no, I don't care, you're not a Mandalorian anymore. And I'm like, what?
I gotta imagine a lot of it could stem from like Dave Filoni's like love of and even John Favreau's love of Mandalorians and like just the lore and building like a mystique, you know, like the depth of what their armor means and the armor, casting it and building it out of Beskar, you know. And I mean, I don't know where they mine, but do they mine Beskar on Mandalore? I'm guessing maybe.
Sure.
Maybe there's like a whole, you know, mystique to all of that that makes, you know, like, you know, kind of how other cultures, when you're given like a sword or a shield or armor or, you know, anything, like, you know, it really means something, you know, like it's something, you know, that's not just a set of armor, like it's everything. And it's, you know, the armor is the one who made it. So she's clearly got a lot of, you know, she's a very important person because she's essentially giving these Mandalorians, you know, pretty much a big part of what they are. So
I mean, yeah, and if she's so in charge, why does she not have the Darksaber?
Because she's an armorer. She's an armorer.
But the Darksaber
meant to be the leader.
The Darksaber leads to power. So, you know.
Yeah, but maybe she doesn't seek power. She just, you know.
No, she just wants to kick people out of the clan. And if I'm following this right, there's not many of them left, so why would you kick people out?
That is very true.
She's just that dedicated to the cause.
I know. And I gotta throw in real quick, so I don't really Google that much, like, as far as actors go and like whatever, so I had no idea who Emily Swallow was before Celebration. And like, to me, it just, I was such in shock. I'm like, wow. Like, I don't know what I expected her to look like outside of the armor, but like, it wasn't who I saw at Celebration.
That photo they had of her on her table to sign at Celebration, I think it's the only photo I've ever seen of her with like in the suit, but her taking her helmet off.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It looks so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, like, I don't know. The personality didn't I don't know. I mean, that's just a testament to her acting skills, I guess. But I'm not sure what I thought she looked like underneath, but it wasn't that. I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, that's what the armorer looks like? That's really cool. Like, she looks great. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in there because we were talking about the almighty armorer.
So, Callie brought up the directors. You want to talk about the directors?
Yeah, so we got the official list from The Hollywood Reporter the night of the trailer, I think. And then the Star Wars social media accounts posted today a little graphic with the trailer. So we've got three new directors and three returning directors. The new ones are Lee Isaac Chung, who did Minari in 2020. It was with Steven Yeun, if you guys have ever seen him. And he played Glenn in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Great actor, great movie. It won a couple different awards, I think, at Sundance that year. Again, but that was COVID, so everything that year was overlooked. We've got Rachel Morrison. She's done an episode of The Morning Show on Apple TV. If you guys have seen that before.
No, I haven't.
No, not really. I mean, I know the show, but I haven't watched any of it yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. But she's most famously known, I would say, for being the cinematographer for Black Panther.
Okay.
And most people who are aspiring directors like to start off as cinematographers. So that's great. You know, the episodes she's doing will look great. Nice. And then the last one, which is the most exciting to me, is Peter Ramsey. Often he does not get enough credit for directing Spider-Verse, because Phil Lord and Christopher Miller get most of the credit, I would say, but Peter Ramsey co-directed it. So,
It's about Into the Spider-Verse.
The first one. So word on the street is he's also doing an episode of Ahsoka. So I'm guessing this is a Dave Filoni recruit.
Oh, so that means we're totally getting Mandoverse, like multiverse, like, you know, Mando from dimension 8,222 and, you know, Grogu is the dark side Grogu and all that crazy stuff. We're totally getting it.
World between worlds.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going there.
And then the three returning directors are all great. So we've got Carl Weathers again, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, Carl.
The strongest director in the bunch, I would say. And then Rick Famuyiwa. I'm sorry if I butchered the last name, but he's also an EP on this season as well. They announced the Celebration. So given that we have eight episodes and six directors, I would probably say it's safe to say he's directing at least two. Not sure who else would be directing two, but
they should let Bryce do two.
I think that's a possibility. She was filming on her birthday, and based on the set she was in, it looks like the beginning of this most recent trailer, that kind of rocky planet. Almost looks like I think it's Arvala 7 from season 1 where he met Queel. It looks kind of similar. So I'm guessing they did some kind of stuff on the back lot out in Cali and not in the volume. So that's just my prediction. But yeah, I'm really excited that she's back.
Yeah, and I guess Dave Filoni's busy with Ahsoka, and that's probably why he didn't direct any.
I gotta imagine between all the shows they've got going right, like they've got those three shows, you know, going right now that are all tied together, that they're probably pretty tied up just in the storytelling aspect and producing aspect of all three. Not to mention whatever else is coming, you know.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of rumors going around from credible and reputable sources about on-set troubles with Skeleton Crew and now Mando. So I'm guessing Filoni and Favreau had quite a bit of work to figure out on set outside of directing.
Yeah, I saw some of those reports too about just
trouble?
Just like, a lot of crew trouble, right? Crew trouble.
Yeah, Matt's got it right. So a lot of David doesn't follow this kind of same stuff that Matt and I do, but
I don't.
Yeah, there's it's just fact. I'll go out and say that. I mean, there's sources that have multiple sources who have talked about it, but the management on set, so that's people like assistant directors and any kind of supervisors. There's been issues with them on set. So people who are working underneath the directors, just poorly treating the crew, and that's not going to be a reflection based on what I've heard of the show itself. It's still going to look great. It's still going to be the same kind of quality, but the crew is definitely treated poorly, and doesn't mean they're doing bad work. They're doing great work, but they're just being overworked. And
oh, that's
the
same
stuff you hear in Hollywood. Same kind of thing with all the VFX crews on the Marvel movies. I mean, those people are worked to death and not fairly compensated. So I guess it's been a management issue with. Not Ahsoka that I've heard, but just Mando season 3 and Skeleton Crew has gotten the worst of it. I guess it's all kind of come to a head there, being the most recent show to film.
And we'll just wait till they do the crossover.
Right. And Skeleton Crew was that filmed in England? Because we know Mando was filmed in California.
Yeah, all the Mandoverse shows have been out in California.
They're all out in California? Okay.
Yeah, El Segundo Beach or something like that, maybe.
Gotcha. Yeah, because you didn't hear anything about problems on Andor, really. At least I don't think I did.
Yeah.
At least anything major.
Andor was all on location, too, wasn't it? Like, they did a lot of location work on that. Like, they didn't use the volume and everything.
Yeah, a lot of location work and just actual sets, probably at Pinewood or wherever else they were, wherever else they filmed.
Yeah, same thing with Acolyte.
Yeah, because Acolyte's filming in England too, isn't it? Or abroad, I should say, depending on where they do locations and stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this set of directors. I mean, I think I'll take as much Bryce Dallas Howard as we can get, because every episode she's done is phenomenal. And Rick, too, obviously, I mean, they made him an executive producer, and clearly he has a huge love for Star Wars. Like, I think it's been pretty cool how present he's been at Celebration and everything he talks about. And obviously, I think Carl Weathers is, like, being sucked into it, you know? Like,
did you see his tweet with the poster?
No, I didn't.
It was so funny. This is the coolest show ever. Everybody's got to watch. And it's like he like retweeted the, like the Star Wars posting of the poster, but just, I don't know, the way he worded it, it made me chuckle. I was like, this is all, I'm like, here's a guy that loves his job so much.
And it's funny because
Giancarlo have done like single-handedly almost all the marketing for the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's during that Mando panel alone, the two of them at Celebration, and that was 7-8 months ago.
And going back to the first Mandalorian panel in Chicago, you know, like when they announced Carl Weathers was gonna be in the show, obviously like everybody that loves Rocky was like psyched for it. But you know, Carl Weathers was not like a huge Star Wars fan growing up like some of the other people that are directing, like Bryce Dallas Howard and Rick and, you know, obviously Filoni and Favreau, but like Carl's energy on that stage when he came out, and you could tell he just like was taking it in and loving it. And then clearly it's like grown on him every year since, because he's now getting more, I mean, obviously he's getting great opportunities as a director and producer probably too, but you can tell just like Lincoln and I got to meet him at, Fan Expo Chicago this summer, and like he was awesome, like super cool. And we didn't really ask him about Star Wars just because Lincoln was really loves him as Combat Carl from Toy Story, but like the fight, like
amazing.
The cool thing is you can tell he has an appreciation, I think, for all the work he does.
Oh sure,
you know, because like he loved that Lincoln, like, you know, when he was walking up, he was like, what does Combat Carl say? And now it's escaping me, but he said the whole quote and then he wrote it on his poster and stuff. And you can just tell Carl's, you know, got a pretty good, I think, vibe and like heart for everything he does. So
I remember you telling me that story now that you mention it. Yeah. That's awesome. You gotta love celebrities like that who will engage with you and just, like, you can truly see their passion for what they do and the franchises that they become a part of. And, you know, they're the best ambassadors for the franchise. Kind of like us, kind of like the fans, you know, like the fans and the celebrities
together.
We are all in this galaxy together. It brought us together and it keeps us together.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Any final thoughts, guys, for tonight before we wrap it up?
Combat Carl never gives up. Combat Carl always finds a way. I remembered.
Yes, we are going to end on that note. Combat Carl Weathers. Oh, wow. I just realized that. Carl Weathers, Combat Carl. Oh, that's funny.
You know?
It's taken me this long to realize.
One last thought. What did you think of his new Diggs he had there? in that scene.
Oh, he looks so fancy.
He does. He's moving up in the world. That plan, that whatever city that was, looked pretty nice too.
He's got to be the only character that gets a wardrobe upgrade every year too.
Yeah.
Unless you count the pieces of Beskar that, you know, Mando acquires, but you know, no, like Grogu's in the same robe that he's been in since Order 66.
Dude, it's gonna blow people's minds when Grogu shows up in a different shirt.
Oh, I know. and then we're gonna get all new Funko Pops, and we're gonna get all new Hot Toys, and we're gonna get all new, you know, they're gonna just, you know, oh hey, he changed his outfit. Maybe that's why they're not changing his outfit, because they're already making enough stuff. And we don't need any more stuff.
Oh no, the change is coming. Get ready for it.
Wait,
we
really?
Always need more stuff.
No, what I don't know. Know. I'm just speculating. I have literally no idea.
I was gonna say, what did Samantha tell you that she wasn't supposed to?
Nothing. She's pretty good with secrets. I don't think she'll tell me.
No,
anything.
I know she is. We had a talk about that actually. Yeah, and that's good. Honest, I mean, you have.
I don't
to
even
be.
Want
to
like, know. I don't you're... even want to know those secrets. You know, like I want to be surprised, so I don't even. Wouldn't even
I was
try
gonna
to
say.
Pry.
Me too. Like the trailers are one thing, and you know, speculation amongst us is always good. But like when it comes right down to spoilers, I want to wake up at 4 a.m. before I go to work and watch these new episodes, you know, with a fresh eyes, and then go to work and freak out on my customers all day. Like, did you watch it yet? Did you watch it yet? And they're like, no, David, I just woke up to go to work. And I'm like, well, I'm dedicated and I woke up early to watch it. And they're like, good for you. We're so proud of you.
Yeah, I made the mistake of reading the synopsis to one of the sequel trilogy movies ahead of time, or like the full breakdown of the movie when it leaked online. And I regret it. Totally. Yeah. I wish I never would have, and I'll never do it again. It just totally, it ruins the, for me, especially at least, it, you know, it ruins a lot of the excited apprehension.
Was it The Last Jedi or Rise of Skywalker?
It was one of those two. I can't remember which. It might have been The Rise of Skywalker.
It ruined your life, but you didn't. Wow, that means all of you guys read about it before the movie, except for me.
Well, yeah, be thankful you did.
It was everywhere, man.
Oh, I was thankful. Heard.
There was like a Burger King in Germany or something, and they were giving out spoilers to the movie.
A Burger King?
Yeah, because it released early overseas, I think, or something. I can't remember the whole story, but yeah,
but
Burger
I don't
King
like
was handing out spoilers.
It was a couple weeks. It was a couple weeks before the movie. I think pretty much the whole rundown of the movie leaked online. Like,
oh,
every,
I know, Dennis.
Nearly
Dennis
every
read it.
It was July. I remember reading on Reddit.
Like, yeah, no, it might have been way before real. That I read it. I can't remember. I barely remember what I did yesterday.
Dennis read it over the summer, and he's like, hey, I know how the movie's going to end. I'm like, that's great. I don't want to know. And he's like, well, I'm just telling you. And then, you know, we can talk about it in December. And I said, well, yeah, in December after we see it. I don't want to know.
Yep. I'll never do it again. It's hard to even watch the trailers, you know, anymore, just because,
you know,
I watch them so much. And I kind of, I'm starting to get to the point where I almost don't want, or actually seeing the, you know, like the first teaser trailer, like at Celebration, like when the show is so far away, like in terms of like Mando season 3 or like Ahsoka, like that's not as bad, because then if I don't watch another trailer for like 8 months, then I'll forget about it or forget some of the details. Right. Then again, we wouldn't be able to talk about it. So I don't know if I can.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that, like, they, you know, they avoid trailers and everything, so they're, like, totally spoiler-free, but I can't picture doing that. Like, the trailers, to me, are part of the excitement. Like, I remember the only one that I kind of felt a little spoiled by was when The Last Jedi was gearing up to come out, and, like, there was the 20-second clip where, you know, Rey force-grabbed Kylo's lightsaber and ignited it, and I was just like, I remember I was at work and I saw it and I dropped my phone and I was like, oh my god, I'm like, she's turning to the dark side, she's gonna take Kylo's saber, oh my god. And like, you know, obviously it was a whole different thing in the movie, but like that was the only one I was like, I wish they hadn't shown this. You know,
or like the dark gray one in The Rise of Skywalker. Did that blow your mind as much or not?
That one didn't bother me because I assumed it was like some kind of vision or
right.
At that point, you'd
already figured out they didn't mess with, you know, they messed with you with The Last Jedi, so they probably weren't doing the same thing again.
Yeah, I just for some reason I like when I saw that, and like I think it was D23 they first released like the Dark Ray picture or something. It didn't even occur to me. I was like, nah, that's some sort of like Force vision or like dream or something. Like she's not turned into the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much thought the same thing at that point. But
right. All right, guys. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of Jawa Jabber. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our listeners. We are back and better than ever, and we are going to keep these episodes coming. Do you guys have any last goodbyes or anything for our audience?
I just want to say thanks for joining me, guys, and letting me join. It's been a pleasure, and we only got one more month to go, and 10 days? So I can't wait.
Month and 10 days. Woohoo!
Absolutely. Ugh,
it's going to be awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, for Dennis, who is MIA tonight, and Kynobi and Matt, the radar technician, I am David Wren signing off for the night. And may the Force be with you always.